fruitful in our lives. Amen. I want to speak about following the Lord, which is what we're all primarily concerned about, and what it means to really follow Him. I think as you get into this walk in the Spirit, you realize that following Jesus Christ cannot be captured by simply memorizing the Bible and knowing all the scriptures about Him. It goes beyond the realm of doctrine and our intellectual grasp of the doctrine, or even our correct interpretation of the scriptures, as important as that is. We can only follow Him in relationship with Him. It has to be a living, growing relationship. And our path, you realize that our path through life, once you start following Him, you realize that Jesus Christ is the objective. He's out there. That's where we're going. But He's also the very path that we walk on. He is the light. He is the path. His Spirit is what brings us forth. And we begin to discover some of the obstacles that are placed in our way as we take this journey. In the beginning, I think the journey may be more about the religion about Jesus. But again, as we begin to walk it, you realize that our path is really not about religion. It's about relationship. Religion, I think, is the part of the human soul that's trying to get back to God and recapture what was lost in the garden. That state of being fallen, that state of separation. And religion, I think, comes from a good part of us, even though it can become twisted depending on how people get involved with it. It can be very hurtful, again, because of human nature. But the basic drive of religion, any religion, is that part inside that senses, I was created by God to be one with God. The problem with religion is it's a lot of human effort, human thinking. And even though the divine is involved with it, God graces, gives His grace and His gifts and His ministries, and we sense His anointing, a lot of that religious thrust is a soulish striving to get back to God. The spiritual life is not something we create out of our soul. The spiritual life is what God has done through His Son and is already in our lives. It's what was finished on Calvary, and when He rose from the dead, it was accomplished within us. We have it. There's no struggle involved. I would say the struggle is over, do we believe it? Are we aware of it? But there's nothing our soul can produce, our emotions, our mind, or our will to accomplish it, because there's nowhere to go. We're already there. We're seated in heavenly places. So the pathway that we take as it becomes a spiritual walk is God taking off those grave clothes, opening our eyes to see who He is within us. It's an increasing life of faith. I think some of the obstacles we encounter, one is our past. Doesn't that get in the way? Things that we've gone through that we haven't resolved, hurts. And you know, you can be religious and bury those things and get on just fine. But when it comes to the spiritual walk, everything's brought to the light. So it's not a matter of how well you can hide things in your closet and what kind of an image you can project to other people. When it deals with the Spirit, all things become revealed, are made real. So then it's a matter of the Holy Spirit begins to search out, and you say, well, I'd rather have this religious life. I felt I was all together. I had my rules, I had my doctrines, the things that are painful, I pushed away so nobody could see them, and even I didn't have to look at them. Get involved with the Holy Spirit, following the Lord, and all of a sudden, I don't feel so good about myself. All this stuff comes up. Why? Because the spiritual life is real life. And all those hidden things in our closet are what choke out our life to where we're just existing and not really living in Him. So it's an operation of His love, not judgment, that He brings things to the surface so that we can be freed. And I, again, in going back to my experience and reconnecting with my brothers of many years ago, I had put something back in the closet, a hurt. It was very hurtful to me to be separated from people I love, people I ministered God's word to. And my religious side would just say, well, that's over. That's in the past. Well, was it in the past? Yeah, the event was in the past, but the walls that I was carrying, the fears that I was carrying are in the present. They hinder my present awareness of the Lord. So I know I'm involved in a spiritual life because only God could open doors like He's done. and bring me back to something where I could get closure and get healing for that. But that's our life in Him. He brings up all these things, and it may confuse us at times. It disturbs us because it interferes with our religious self-righteous image. We don't look so good. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit's involved in bringing things to light, you're getting well. It's healing. You're becoming whole. And the end result is oneness with Him. With the past, sometimes the Holy Spirit leads you back to understand really what happened. And you know, when we do this in therapy, if I just take a moment with this, you work with people and you go back to events and you can say, well, the past is over. You shouldn't have to do that. Well, you can't change the past event. What can change is how a person has interpreted that and how it's affected them. And often it's important to go back. You say, why get involved with the past? Well, when the past is crippling our present, you go back so that you can see that in a new way and be free in your life now. So the Spirit does that with us. Things that have hurt us, things that we've buried, will bring us back, and revelation will come, love will come, where we can see things in a new way, gain an understanding from what God was doing in it. Why? So that in our present, we're not crippled. We're free to walk in Him. We have a freedom from Him. Other times, the past, God looks at it, I think, and says, I've given grace. It's over. Just let it go. You don't have to do a lot of analyzing. You've heard the expression paralysis through analysis? Sometimes we just think so hard and try to figure things out, and no matter how much time you give to it, it just stays there and it hurts and it hurts. And there is a measure of God's grace where He says, just let it go. Do you remember the year of Jubilee, what that was all about? Was it every
50 years?
Everything was forgiven. What you owed, you didn't owe. You got things back. And I think there are times we need to recognize when the Spirit is doing this. You say, well, there's got to be justice here. We got to go back and make everything right. Well, if God is saying, forget about it, I've forgiven it, it's over, maybe we should say that and think the same way. God is able to let go of things a lot easier than we are. You know, we're so concerned about justice. I think a lot of it's just wrapped up with our ego where we've been offended. We want revenge. We want to get, we want things made right because we've been hurt. And there are times when the Spirit says, just look at it, let it go. It doesn't exist anymore. That's easy to say. But I think that at least if we can recognize when God has let something go and realize that the struggle is in our own mind, the more we identify with God, we find that that grace becomes effective in helping us let it go also. So the past, and as we go on and we allow the Holy Spirit to deal with our past the way God wants, and we're willing to let that happen, our present becomes a lot clearer in how we're moving in Him. Also, as we're walking up the path together, you know, the path is a spiritual one, and sometimes we get so wrapped up in little things. It's kind of like if you're walking, picture this, I don't know how else to describe it. It's like a mountain, and there's all these paths going up this mountain. Okay, and you recognize, okay, the goal is the top, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, my head. And if you're really stuck in a religious way, you think, well, this path I'm on is the only way up it. And I think people before long hopefully get out of that and realize if the path's going up, amen, it's going to the same place, right? But sometimes as we're walking, we can get so caught up in little things or maybe just get legalistic. It's like looking at your feet when you're trying to walk up a mountain. How effective is that? If you're not looking at where you're going, before long, you're not going anywhere or you're going the wrong direction. And that's what the religious spirit does, I think, a lot. It gets us to take our eyes off Jesus Christ, the head, and we begin to focus down on our feet, me, 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 what's going on here, and we get bogged down. And you know, when the life in the Spirit does two things to us. One thing is it makes you very steadfast in what God is doing and how He's leading you. And the other, it makes you very flexible in being aware of others and what God's doing in their life. So I think if we get kind of self-consumed, we start to stumble or we stop moving. Whenever we get critical, wrapped up in negativity, what's happening? We think we have these important issues and we have a right to be critical. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're standing your path and you're not going anywhere, what good is it doing you? And that's what happens. People become negative, become critical, and they stop moving. They're standing there just looking at their feet, trying to figure things out. So the life in the Spirit is always being able to look at the head, and you recognize you're moving forward. And the more you move toward the head, the more steadfast and faithful you become to the path of revelation that God's opening up within you. That's one part. The second part is, what about all these people on these paths right next to you? We kind of look over sometimes and we think, well, I'd like to extend my hand, but what if that person doesn't extend their hand back? This is what I went through with this recent coming back to the fellowship, the living word, and people that are in it, and you know, reconnecting with them. I've wanted to do it for some time, but I looked over and thought, well, I'd like to reach my hand out, but I don't want to face the rejection if they don't reach out and grab my hand. Well, you know, sometimes that'll happen. But I think more often than not, they're probably feeling the same way you are. And someone's got to break the ice and just say, you're my brother, you're my sister. We're not meant to go up the mountain by ourselves. It's interesting. This walk with God is very individual. Nobody walks it for you. You take your own feet and walk your own spiritual journey. But at the same time, it's an interdependence. We don't do it apart from relationship. So you're doing the walking, but your hands are stretched out in relationship to your brother and your sister. And I think after a while, this path that we're on, instead of trying to always analyze it, well, what does the path mean and what are these rocks here and this, that, and the other, the more you're able to embrace your brother and sister, you realize the strength and anointing that's coming through relationship and carrying you up the mountain. It's not just the power of your own legs, but it's the power of those that you love and love you. So I kind of get this picture of a people where it's kind of a walk and trudging and all of a sudden becoming a flow together, strengthening one another, all going to the same place. I believe this is what is happening in the earth. It's been happening, but I just see a more pronounced step taking place with the body of Christ today. And that sectarian spirit, that division that comes in and gets people to try to build a wall around their path. And again, once we, you know, we're not told to build any walls, period. I shared this last Sunday up in the Valley Church. I said, in Zechariah, it says, Jerusalem will be a city without walls. God will be a wall of fire to her, around her, and glory in his glory in her midst. That's the spiritual life. God becomes our boundary, our protector. And if we're able to let the walls come down, the walls of fear, then I think we really become aware of God being the glory within us too. I don't think you can have one without the other. Turn with me to John chapter 6. Now see, I'm going longer only because you're drawing it out of me. I didn't want to do all this. Following the Lord, flowing up the mountain together. John chapter 6, I think this chapter really deals with what it means to follow the Lord in a spiritual way. Because you have Jesus here who has a following. He's feeding the 5,000 have been fed. He's working miracles. He's creating a lot of attention. People recognizing something supernatural, divine is taking place. He's popular, except with the Pharisees. But the people are waking up that something's happening here. Chapter 6, verse 2 says, and a great multitude was following him because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. They were following because they were seeing. This is often the case, I think, with religion. People will follow because they see something happening that they want to identify with. I am not downplaying the importance of signs and wonders and miracles and healings. We need a lot more of that. But that's not the basis by which we follow the Lord. It's very important that we have anointed ministries, apostles, prophets, all the gifts in operation. But that's not our basis in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And too often with religion, people that are following what they're seeing, when they don't see it, they don't have anything inside to keep on going. People will get disillusioned with the church and then say, well, I'm disillusioned with God. Things can go wrong with the church. Things can go wrong with any of us. My life could go off in a ditch tomorrow. I sure hope that wouldn't cause you to be disillusioned in God. I hope you'd pray for me, feel bad for me. But our relationship in following the Lord can't be based on what our soul sees. It's got to be a deeper level. We go to verse 48. Jesus gets to that level. He says, I am the bread of life. He begins to speak to them about him, that he's the living bread come down from heaven. That someone, that he who eats my flesh, verse 54, and drinks my blood has eternal life. I'll raise him up on the last day. Verse 55, for my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Excuse me. He goes on speaking things that are offending those that are listening. All of a sudden, this movement wanting to make Jesus a king, he's a popular guy. You find as you read on, they left. They're disillusioned. They're offended in their thinking. Because we can't follow the Lord on that level. And I think God will continue to allow that offending to go on the religious level or the soul level. You think, why are all these things have to happen in the body? Why can't we get the perfect church, the perfect movement? I don't think God wants the perfect church organization as we define church, or the perfect movement. Those things will always fail. You say, well, why do people have to disappoint me? I have them up on a pedestal, and all of a sudden they're doing things that offend me or disappoint me. God doesn't want you putting people on a pedestal. That's not following the Lord. So all the disappointments we experience in our soul over our religious history, think about it a little bit. Have you been disappointed? Have some of your deepest hurts come in church with what's gone on in church? God allows that so that we can find a true following of Jesus Christ in the Spirit. Because as you read on down to verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. He goes on down, verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew. Not just those that were following for the food. Many of his disciples withdrew. Disciple implies commitment. They weren't just there for the day. Watch the miracle. People that had been following it, sounds like for at least a little bit of time, many of them withdrew. Why? Because he was speaking words that offended their natural way of thinking, things they could not understand that didn't make sense to them. And if they couldn't see it with their minds, they had no other sense of reality to connect with Jesus. Verse 67, Jesus said therefore to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Here's the key. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Here's the level of really following the Lord. Look at where Peter is at. He is saying, in effect, Lord, my mind doesn't understand what you're saying any more than all these others that are withdrawing here. But my mind is not in control. All I know is the word and the words of eternal life. That is who you are. Where am I going to go? This is how we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It's listening to and being a part of the words of spirit and of life. And when our mind is not in control, our spiritual life doesn't stop, does it? Because the Holy Spirit will continually take us to places that are uncomfortable, that we can't figure out, that offend the way we think about things. And our religious mindset is constantly being offended by what God does. And at that point, we recognize we have a relationship with Him. I don't know how many times I've been at this point looking at God and going, you know, being upset. not liking what I see, not understanding what I see, or all of both of those reasons at the same time. But in my heart, there's a place for his words of spirit and life. So I'm sitting there going, I don't know what's going on. I don't like being in a place where my mind can't be in control, but that's the way it is. Lord, I've got nowhere to go. You see, you're really following Jesus Christ when you can come to those points and those times and admit that to yourself. It's not the religious perception of being led by the Spirit, where we're spiritual supermen and women, you know, always hearing God, and he says go left, we go left, he says go right, we go right, and we always feel good about things. We wear a big S on our shirt, spiritual son, Superman, whatever. That religious way of thinking doesn't last very long, does it, when the Lord begins to deal with things in your heart? Because often when you're following him the deepest, you may feel totally weak. His power is perfected in our weakness. You may look at yourself and say, I feel completely undone. I'm not in control here. But your heart is following the words of spirit and of life. And the result of that, Peter, he had a revelation where the words of life were. The result is he was able to believe and to know. When we are a part of this flow of the living word of Christ, we are living in a state of increasing faith and knowing a revelation of who the Lord is. Just a few more scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 3:6. It's a very familiar verse. This is what we are involved with. Paul is saying, who has made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is who we are, words of spirit and of life. It's a new covenant. This is our pathway. This is how we follow on to know the Lord. Romans 7:6. I can just read it. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we may serve in newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Again, how are we following the Lord Jesus? It's not in the letter, not some legalistic religious program you're part of. It's in the newness of the Spirit, being a part of that life. Remember the two that were on the road to Emmaus and the Lord walked with them? And they were so consumed in their minds about the recent events, what had happened, Jesus being crucified, all that had taken place. Here was the Lord of glory walking with them. They didn't recognize him. And it says at a certain point, he broke bread with them, fellowship with them, and their eyes were open. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was speaking to us? What a perfect symbol of our walk with the Lord. I mean, as human beings, let's face it. We're on the road, and our minds are consumed with this agenda, that agenda, and we don't recognize often that it's Jesus Christ walking with us and speaking to us. And yet, you come to a point where your eyes are open, you realize the burning inside. That was the Spirit of God. He's with me. He's been with me this whole time. Well, more and more, there's going to be that awakening to recognize the Lord as he's speaking to us as we're walking our journey. One last scripture and we'll close. Deuteronomy chapter 8. In following the Lord, I think we often wonder why we go through all the difficulties we go through, right? God is speaking about the Israelites, and it says in verse 3, let's go verse 2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his word. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Why does our soul go through such difficult, traumatic experiences? Everybody's got their own personal wilderness. Everybody here has their own story of testings and trials and heartaches. God does it and it humbles us as human beings. And what's the end result? All of this, God is saying, I just want you to see what's in your heart. I want you to realize that your life is not what your soul is telling you. It's not what your physical senses are telling you. Your life is in everything that I speak, every bit of life, words of spirit and life that come from me. That is how you live. That is so contrary to the conditioning of the world we live in, contrary to the conditioning of the religious world we live in. But more and more we're going to be awakened to the truth of that. That we are alive because we are in that flow. That, like Jesus spoke at that last day of the feast, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The water, spirit, and life is our life. What does it mean to follow the Lord? Do you have to have the Bible memorized? Do you have to know more than everybody else? No. Knowledge is a good thing. But following the Lord is being immersed in that river of life and coming to recognize that His words of spirit and life are your life. It's what you are all about. Amen. Let's stand. Life just reaching the hearts of the people that are out there. I hear a cry. I don't hear a cry for what we have defined in the past as missionaries, simply more information to get out. As good as the Bible is, I mean, the best book that's ever been written, people are crying out for the river of life. They're crying out for living epistles where that life of the Spirit can be imparted to them. And Lord, we believe this morning, as you are more mindful than we ever can be of your people on this planet, we pray that the new covenant, Lord, the new covenant of your Spirit be manifest in greater and greater ways. That, Lord, we be awakened out of any kind of religious slumber, awakened to who we are in you, and that the river of life, those rivers that are within each and every one of our hearts, be opened up. Let nothing dam it. Let nothing hold it back. Let the rocks be pulled out of the well. So all that you are within us can flow to all the hungry and thirsty that are out there. People cannot drink religion. They can only drink you. You're the only one that satisfies the thirst that we all have. We believe together, Lord. Amen. Okay. We're going to...